Shalom to all. Today's office menachas daf tzadi vav. We're starting near the top of the brand new Mishnah. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Marsh Mem Sarah Bas Biyakov Moshe Hernish Amo should have an Aliyah. So the Mishnah says Chavitin Kohen Gadol. The Menachas Chavitin Kohen Gadol, which we already know from earlier in the Masechta, is brought every single day. It's split half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So Lishasam Arichasam Vafiyasam Bifnim, shaping into loaves and baking it. All has to happen inside the Azara. Vidaychas Shabbos and it's Daicha Shabbos, which means that it becomes Kadosh automatically, and that's why it can't be baked before Shabbos. It has to be done on Shabbos, or else it's going to be possible Belina. However, Tchinasam Arichadosan ain't Shabbos. Grinding the wheat and sifting it is not Deicha Shabbos. Why is that? So call on Rabbi Kiva says a rule. Call Malacha She'efshar La'aseh Sam Erev Shabbos. Any Malacha that could have been done Erev Shabbos, ain't Deicha Shabbos, it's not Deicha Shabbos. So grinding the wheat and sifting it could be done Erev Shabbos. But if She'efshar La'aseh Sam Erev Shabbos, if you can't do it Erev Shabbos, such as baking it, because it has to be done every single day and it can't become possible, you know, Deicha Shabbos says Deicha Shabbos. Mishnah continues. Call Malacha She'efshar La'aseh Kli Bifnim, Be'ben Ma'aseh Kli Bachot. All Malachas, they have Ma'aseh Kli Bifnim, which means they're done in a Kli inside the Azara and they're not done outside the Azara. Now, discussion of the size and shape of the shtei alechem lechem upon him. Shtei alechem archon shivat tvachim ruchavan dalan tvachim. The shtei alechem are 7 tvachim long, 4 tvachim wide. V'karniseha arbetz bais, and the horns, which is like added pieces of dough to the corners to give it horn-like protrusions. So that's 4 finger widths. Now lechem upon him. What about the lechem upon him, which is on the shulchan? So archon yud tvachim, they're 10 tvachim long. Ruchavan he tvachim, they're 5 tvachim wide. V'karnosav shevatz bais, and these kronos, these horns that are placed on it, are 7 fingers. Rabbi Yudam, he tells us shloi tita, so you shouldn't make a mistake. You have good Rashi Tevis, a mnemonic to help you remember this. Zadad Yahaz. Zadad is 7, 4, 4, as in 7 tfachim, 4 tfachim, and 4 etzbais. That's a shtei alechem. And Yahaz is 10 and 5 tfachim and 7 finger breaths. And let's not forget, this is the same Rabbi Yehuda of the Haggadah that he gave simanim to the Makkas, Tetzach Hadash Be'achav. So Rabbi Yehuda is a simen tana. Definitely something interesting to look into. The Mishnah continues. Ben Zayma says, the pasuk tells of Zata al Shulchan, Lechem Panim Lefanai Tamid. You shall place on the Shulchan Lechem Panim, which is in front of me always. Now, what's his Lashon? Lechem Panim, Shiyu Lai Panim. It should have Panim, which either means faces. And so it has many different sides to it. As we know, the shape is definitely very interesting, which we're going to continue discussing. And panim can also be understood as pinim, meaning corners or horns. So that would be the source for these added kronos. The Mishnah continues, Hashulchan, Archa Yod Ruchavi Chamisha. The Shulchan itself is 10 tfachim long and 5 tfachim wide. And Lechem Apanim, Archa Yod Ruchavi Hei. Lechem Panim as well, it's 10 tfachim long and 5 tfachim wide. Now, if you think about it right now, before we continue, if we would put the Lechem Apanim lengthwise on the Shulchan lengthwise, so it would fit perfectly, obviously, but we need 2 stacks of Lechem Apanim, and that wouldn't be possible if it's like that. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Naisein Archai Kneged Rachbai Shel Shulchan, the length of Lechem Apanim is laid across the width of the Shulchan, so that means that the middle 5 tfachim of Lechem Apanim is on the 5 tfachim width of the Shulchan, and there's 2.5 tfachim jutting out on each edge. So what's done with that? B'kaifel tfachim mechzim ikan, utfachim mechzim ikan, and so that means that 2.5 tfachim on this side and 2.5 tfachim on that side are folded upwards. This is clearly like Shitas Rav Chanina of Tzadi Daroman Beza on the top, who says the Lechem looks like a Teva Prutza. That's basically the open box, which has the 2 sides going up. That's what we just described over here. Nimsa, turns out, says Mishnah, Archai Mali Rachbash Shulchan, that the length of Lechem upon him fills up the width of the Shulchan, and here we're able to have 2 stacks of 6 Lechemim. Div Rabbi Huda, this is Rabbi Huda's opinion. Rav Meir argues, and he says, HaShulchan Archai Yud Beis Ruchavai Vav. The Shulchan is 12 Tfachim long and 6 Tfachim wide. Now, this is just an argument of how long the Amma is. That's because the Torah tells us that the Shulchan is 1 by 2 Amais. It doesn't use Tfachim, it just says Amais. So, according to Rabbi Huda, the Amma is 5 Tfachim, which means the Shulchan is 5 by 10. Whereas according to Rav Meir, the Amma is 6 tfachim, so that's why it's 6 by 12. So Rav Meir continues, Lechem Panim Archa Yod Ruchavai Hei. Lechem Panim is 10 tfachim long, 5 tfachim wide. Nois in Archa Keneged Rachbash Shulchan, the length of Lechem Panim is placed on the width of the Shulchan. So that means in the middle, 6 tfachim of Lechem Panim is on the 6 tfachim width of the Shulchan. And therefore, Kaifal Tfachim Mikan, Tfachim Mikan, there's only able to be 2 tfachim folded up on the sides. And Tfachim Revach Be'emtsa, there's a 2 tefach space in between. In other words, in between the 2 stacks of lechemim, there's 2 tfachim. That's because since the width of the lechem apanim is 5 and the length of the shulchan is 12, so that means if we have 2 stacks of lechem apanim next to each other, that's only 10 tfachim. So we have an extra 2 tfachim in between of airspace. And why is that? Kadesh de ruch mana shavus bahem, so that the air could blow in between them, and that prevents the bread from molding and getting bad. Now, Rabbi Shaul says, Shamahu nosen shnei bzich levayin shel lechem apanim. That's where 2 spoons of levayin of lechem apanim were placed in that 2 tefach gap in between. Now, Amar Lo, they asked him, Nemar already says, Venusato al hamarechas levoin nezaka, that these spoons of levoin nezaka shall be placed on the marechas, which means it's being placed on the lechem, not in between. So I'm letting you respond to them. Hari kvar Nemar, we already have a different pasuk that says, v'olav mata menashe, and over here the word olav means, and next to it is the shevet of Menashe, because the shevet of Menashe was not literally on top of the shevet that it was next to, it was just next to that shevet, and therefore olav doesn't have to mean on top, it means next to. We continue discussing the shulchan, var basni from shalzav hayusham, there were four support boards of gold over there. We mentioned these already 2 daf ago, that there were these tall boards that were supporting lechem upon him. Mifutsal meir shehen, they had little pegs, if you will, coming out of them. Shiyusayimchen bahen, they were used to help support the lechemim. Shnayim l'seder zeh. There were 2 of these boards for one stack and 2 of these boards for the other stack, so it's a total of 4 boards. And v'chavchas kanim, there were 28 reeds or rods, kechetzi kanechalol, which were shaped like half of a hollow reed. In other words, these weren't circular rods, they were semicircular. Arbas al Seder Zev, Yud al Seder Zev, 14 for this stack, 14 for that stack. And as we mentioned 2 daf ago, and we're going to sing the Gemara as well, that these rods were used to elevate the lechemim from each other, so they're not literally resting one on top of another. That prevents it from getting moldy, so there could be a little bit of airflow over there. Mishnah further explains this. Loi Seder Kanim Lein Telasim Deich HaShabbos, organizing these Kanim and taking them off is not Deich HaShabbos, El rather, Nichas Me'erev Shabbos, a Kain comes in Erev Shabbos, Vishayim. He takes off these kanim, which means that now, Erev Shabbos, all the lechem are stacked on top of each other. And he places the rods according to the length of the shulchan, waiting there for Matzah Shabbos or Sunday. And then on Shabbos, the old lechem are taken off. New lechem are placed on. Again, there's no rods there yet, so just stacked one on top of another, touching each other. And then, Matzah Shabbos or Sunday, a kohen comes in and he puts those rods in, providing them with the necessary space. Lastly, the Mishnah tells us, Kol kelim shuv mikdash, all the kelim that are in the base of mikdash, archan la'archan shel bayis, their length was according to the length of the base of Mikdash, such as when you walk into a person's dining room and they have their dining room table. So if the room is a rectangle, very often people are going to put the table towards the length because the table is a rectangle and they're going to put it along the length of the room to provide a little bit more space. That's at least how we do it usually in Eretz Yisrael, where the dining rooms or salons tend to be smaller. And that's how it is in the base of Mikdash when you walk into the Heichal. So the Shulchan is along the length of it, not width, and it's the same thing with the Menorah, which is on the left-hand side. So we're quotes the Mishnah, Kol Menachas Yesh Ben Ma'aseh Kli B'fnim, Rebbe, that's Rebbe, Zumi 9. How do we know this? How do we know that all menachos are done inside the Azara with this Ma'aseh Kli Bifnim? So let me told him, Arei Omer, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Lai, he told to me, then see Cheskel Navi saying this, Zeh HaMakom Asher Yivashu Shama Kaihanim Es HaAshem Es HaChatos, as proper Girsa, this is the place where the Kaihanim shall cook the Asham and Chatos, Asher Yofis HaMincha, they shall bake the Mincha there, Vilti Hoitzi El HaChatzer HaChitzoyna, without taking anything out into the outer Chatzer. What do we see from this Pasuk? Mincha Dumi to Asham Chatos. Carbon Mincha is clearly being compared to Asham and Chatos because it's in the same Pasuk, and Ma'ashem v'chatos to unin kli, just like ashem v'chatos, they have to be cooked in a kli, and that's inside, not outside. Af mincha nami to unin kli, so to mincha needs a kli, which is inside, not outside. We continue discussing al shulchan archa asara, as we had a machlokes in the Mishnah between Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir, what the dimensions of the shulchan was, 10x5 or 12x6, and then depending on that, depends on how much of the lechamim get folded up. So Reb Yechon Rechon tells us, l'dibur aymer tfachayim mechza kaifal, according to the one, which is Reb Yehuda, that 2.5 tfachim of each side of the lechamim are folded upwards. So nimsa shulchan mekadesh chamisha asar tefachim mala. Turns out that the shulchan is mekadesh 15 tefachim above it. That's because we're placing the lechamim on top of the shulchan. Now they're not all touching it. At best, only the bottom one is. And therefore, the way that they're all becoming kadesh is through the airspace of the shulchan. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shulchan is mekadesh 15 tefachim above it. That's because if you take 2.5 tefachim times 6, that's going to get you to 15 tefachim. And ledivra aymer tefachim kaifel, according to Rabbi Meir, that it's just 2 tefachim that's folded upwards. So Nimsa Shulchan Makadesh Yud Beis Tefachim Mala, turns the Shulchan Makadesh 12 Tefachim up above. Ask the Gemara, why only this amount? We have the Kanim that are in between each of the Lechamim, and that should raise it up a little bit, adding to the number. The Gemara answers, no. Kanim Shkuim Shakeluhu. Actually, these Kanim are sunk into the Lechamim. When the Lechem was still in dough form, they would make little indentations to put these Kanim, so really the Kanim didn't add any extra height to the stack. Ask the Gemara, how does that make sense? My Taima, what's the reason why we have Kanim in the first place? That's because we don't want the bread to mold, so we want to have a little bit of airspace so the breads aren't touching each other. But if you're telling me that the kanim are a little bit sunken into the breads, not raising them up from each other, so if zav kabab shlechem, at the end of the day, the lechem panim is going to end up molding because there's no airspace. And the answer is you're right. Dimagavale purto, that actually they do raise up the breads a little bit, so there is that space. Ask them are fine. So vekahu purto, we have a little bit of space in between the lechemim, and so that should add to the height of what the shulchan is makadesh. The Gemara says no. Kim d'loy have a tefach, since all that added space doesn't doesn't even come up to a tefach, lechashiv le, it's not important, so it's not counted. Ask the Gemara of Ha'ika Bezichin. What about the Bezichin of Levina? Then according to the Tanakhama of Mishnah, not Abishal, was on top of the lechem, so that adds to the height. The Gemara answers no, but Gaved lechem hava yasvi, they were actually inside the lechem, ulbahadi lechem hava kaimi, so therefore they're counted as part of the whole height of it. They don't add to any of the height. Ask the Gemara of Ha'ika Kronos. What about the Kronos? These added horns, which were these added pieces of dough, which we mentioned in the Mishnah, those should have added to the height. And our answer is Kronos like Gaved lechem kaif luhu, velechem alayu nachle. The Kronos, these horns, they were bent or curved to the inside of the lechem, and the lechem was resting on top of them. Most Gemaras aren't going to have a picture over here, so if you want to try to get a little bit of a visual, turn back to Tzadi Dalam and Bay's on the top left with the picture of how it looks like a Teva Prutzo. That's the first picture in Rashi. So if you would imagine that there's horns or some sort of protrusion coming out of the top of the lechem, those were bent inwards, curved into that little empty airspace over there, and that's where they were located. So actually, there was no added height to the lechem. Our Tzadi Dalam and Bay's on top, the Gemara continues asking, Voike Mizgartoi, what about the Mizgeres? The Torah itself tells us that there has to be a Mizgeres Toifach Saviv, a frame which is a Tefach around the Shulchan, and right now we're understanding that that was placed on top of the Shulchan. Imagine sitting at your dining room table, and you can't put your cup, plate, or bowl, or whatever it is, right at the edge of the table, because for a Tefach height and width, there's a frame all around the edge, so you really would only be able to put your food and bowl, or whatever it is, a little bit into the table, and that's how the Shulchan was, so that adds to the height. Why don't we include that Tefach? The more answer is, Kamando Amar, Mizgartoi, Lamato Haysa, because this is going according to Manto Amar, that the Mizgeres of the Shulchan is actually below. In other words, this Tefach was below the top of the table, hanging a little bit down, if you will. If you can imagine your tablecloth, when you put that on the table, it drapes over the edge and goes below. So imagine you just had a border going around the whole edge, again, below the tabletop, so that's not adding to the height. And furthermore, even according to Manto Amar, that the Mizgeres, the frame, was above, we can still answer that Perkutei Havam Fracto, that it bent outwards, V'lechem Gavei the Shulchan Av Yosef, but still, the lechem was on the table itself. In other words, even if you want to say the Mizgeres was above it, it wasn't actually on the Shulchan itself. It was on the outer part of it, so it didn't add any height to the lechem themselves. And how do we know this? Ketanya, we have a brayser. Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi tells us, Lo yahayisham snifin. There were no support boards for the lechemim. El mizgeres shulchan ha'med sa'es alechem. Rather, the Mizgeres itself of the Shulchan held up the lechem. That would be, obviously, only the bottom lechem. And so clearly, Rabbi Yisrael holds, the Mizgeres was attached to the sides of the Shulchan rising above, so it's not adding any height to the top of the Shulchan. However, Amruloi, they told him, the Chum were arguing with him, the Mizgarti Lamato saw the Mizgaris was below. But either which way, we see that the height of the Shulchan was not raised because of the Mizgaris. So this answers our multiple questions on the number that was given to us regarding our Tuman to Amrim of what the height of Lechem Panim was, 12 or 15 Tvachim. It was no more than that. Now, once we mention the Mizgaris, we continue discussing it. Or he tells us, according to Mando Amar, the Mizgaris of the Shulchan was below it. So Tavla Misapechas Tmeya. This teaches us that a tablet which is able to be turned over can become Tameh. Now let's pause and explain this. We know that wooden kalim can only become Tameh if they have a toich, if they have it inside. However, pshute kli'etz, which are smooth flat kalim, for example, a piece of wood that's smoothed down and used as a stirring spoon, since it doesn't actually have any toich inside of it, it doesn't have a receptacle, it can't become Tameh. Rabbi Yochanan is making a diuk. According to the Chachamim, the Mizgeres is below the Shulchan, so that means that a tavla misapechas, which basically means a flat board that's used as a table, you can technically use it on this side or flip it over and use it on the other side, that could become Tameh. That's because, as we're going to soon see in the Gemara, the Shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash was able to come Tameh. And if you're telling me that it's just flat on top and it has no receptacle, so it must mean that a tabletop which is flat, even though it has no Teich, it has no inside, it still could become Tameh. Now, the reason why that would be is because since it's so large and it's a usable work surface, if you will, you can do things on it, so it's considered a Kli. Rabbi Yochanan continues, L'divra Aymer Mizgarta L'mala Haysa, according to Ma'adar, which is Riyasi, then the Mizgarta of the Shulchan is rising above it, so then Tavla Misapeches Tibayalach, we would still have a question regarding a Tavla Misapeches, a plain flat table that doesn't have any Teich. And the only reason why the Shulchan would be able to be Makabel Toma is because it has a Teich, it has an inside, due to the fact that it has a one Tefach border all around it. So that's like a receptacle, if you will. And therefore, we would not be able to make a diuk from this that a Tavla Misapeches is able to become Tameh. So now the Gemara tells us, Mechlal, the Shulchan Bar Kabila Tomahu. According to the first part where Rabbi Yochanan said, that implies that the Shulchan Beis HaMikdash could become Tameh. The problem with that is, Kli Eitz also Nachasu. This is a wooden Kli, which is meant to be nachas, stationary. Any wooden Kli which is not meant to be moved, it's not makabel toma. My time away is that it has to be like a sack. Masak metal tamal v'reikon, just like a sack is able to be carried full and empty. Afkol metal tamal v'reikon. So to anything can only makabel toma if it's able to be carried full and empty. Let's just clarify this. So pasuk regarding toma mentions a number of different things. It tells us mikol kli eitz or begad or isak. And the drasha is that we compare wood to sack, and just like a sack is something that you put things in in and you carry it around, or sometimes you'll carry it around empty, and this is something to be makabel tumah, because again, that's what the pasuk's talking about. Same thing with kli eitz. Therefore, the only type of kli eitz that could become tameh is something that you're going to move around. Memelo, if it's also in achas, it's not meant to be moved around, like the shulchan, which is stationary, it's not meant to be moved, so it's not able to be makabel tumah. So Rabbi Yochanan take it for granted that the shulchan is makabel tumah. The Gemara answer is shulchan ayin metal tumah levirekon. The shulchan in the base of Mikdash actually was carried around. How is that? Because Rishalakish tells us, what's pshat in the pasuk? It tells us al shulchan atahar, on the shulchan which is tahar. Now tahar mechal teke tameh. When it says tahar, that's mashma that it could become tameh. And how is that? As we're saying now, that it's asuli nachas, so how would it become tameh? El mlam yishon gubino yisil oily regalim, that teaches us that they would actually lift up the shulchan for all the people that were oily regal by the three yom tovim, umarim by lechem, and they would show the lechem to everyone of oymer lechem and tell them, ru'uchi basm lefnei amakoyim, see how beloved you are to Hashem. Kid Rav Shubha Levi, just like Rav Shubha Levi. Rav Shubha Levi, he says, nes gadol nasab lechem upon him, there's great nes lechem upon him, see luka kitzidurai, taking it off is like putting it on. In other words, when it was taken off, a week after it was put on, it was just as fresh. It wasn't stale, it wasn't moldy, nothing happened to it. And where do we see this? Now where the pasuk says, lasum lechem chayim b'yam hi lakchai, to place hot bread on the day that it's taken off. In other words, we see from here that when the lechem was taken off, it was even still hot, like it was just put on there. And so we see very clear from what Rish Lakish just told us, is the shulchan was picked up and moved around, and therefore it's not a kli, it's also in achas, so it could be makabel tumah. And that's the end of part one. Here's part two, where we're going to start asking on Rish Lakish, and we're actually going to stop in the middle of it and pick up tomorrow. But here's the first question. Typically, Mishim Tzipoy, why don't we say the reason why the shulchan could be makabel tumah is because it's covered in gold. We know that's what the pasuk tells us. Don't we also learn the Mishnah? Hashulchan v'adolviki shenivchasu ashechipen b'shayish. If we have a regular table or a dolviki, which is a folding chair, that either were nifchas, which means a bunch of pieces broke off of them, they started getting ruined, or they were covered with marble. So we're not so sure if it still retains its original status. So the Mishnah continues. Vishir behen mekamen nachas kaisais. If there's place on the table, for example, to place cups on, tamein it's still going to be makabel tumah, even though a bunch of pieces broke off. Not a problem. You can still put cups on there. Rabbi Yehudaimer, he says mekamen nachas chatichais. It's not just cups. You also have to be able to put pieces of meat on it. It has to be a little bit larger, and only then it's still considered a table. Now, what do we see from here? Bottom line, shear in loy shear loy. That if there's still place on the table to be able to put things, so then it's still considered a table. If not, then it's not considered a table. And it would be the same thing regarding the second part of the Mishnah, that it was chipun b'shayish, he put marble on top. Now, we know that marble is a type of stone, and stone can't meet makabel tumah at all, and therefore, and so the Mishnah is telling us as well, there's so much marble on here that it's basically covering the entire table, and there isn't even enough space to put cups or maybe also meat on the wood part of the table itself, so then it takes on a totally new din, and it's just considered like a stone table and not a wooden table. And by the same token, we would say if it's mitsupe zahav, if it's plated with gold, and we know the shulchan beis hamikdash was completely covered in gold, so for all intents and purposes, it's not even considered a wood shulchan, it's considered a golden table, which since it's metal, and that's not mentioned at all in the pasuk that we were speaking about before, so it's not compared to sak, therefore a flat metal table, even though it doesn't have receptacle, of course is makabel tumah. So that's why it should be makabel tumah. And v'chitim, if you want to see the Gemara says, the one case is talking about a covering that's connected to it, it's nailed down, and that's what the Mishnah would be referring to. Whereas our discussion of the Shulchan Beis HaMikdash is talking about a covering, a tzipoy, that's not nailed in, because we know the gold was just a flat plate of gold covering it, but it wasn't actually like nailed in. Maybe it's still considered like a wooden table. That can't be because of Abba Minei Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan about this. This was his question. Only which is connected and nailed down, or even if it's not. Is this talking about a plating? And also, does it have to be that this plating, this cover, goes over the rim of the table as well, or it doesn't have to? And Ma'amar Le, Rabbi Yochanan told him, it doesn't make a difference if it's nailed down or if it's not nailed down, if it covers the edge, it doesn't cover the edge, as long as it's basically completely covered with a totally new substance, either shayish, which is stone, or in our situation with the shulchan, gold, which is a metal, so it takes on a new status, therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's considered like a metal table, a gold table, and of course it's makabel tumah. Why is Rish Lakish saying that it's a wood table? And he has to have a whole explanation of why it's makabel tumah, even though it's a kli, it's also linachas, because it's lifted up for the other regalim. It's not a wood table, it's metal, it's gold. And we're going to stop here for the day, which is really right in the middle, and pick up tomorrow, continue with the discussion. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.